The Holy Gospel appointed for the 21st Sunday after Pentecost is taken from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 10, verses 17 through 22. As Jesus was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. This is the gospel of the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. Gracious and merciful Father, today you challenge us again to believe and to accept that it is only by faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior that we are saved from sin, death, and the power of the devil, and will inherit the gift of eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. The answer Jesus gave to the rich young ruler, "Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven." The same answer Paul and Silas gave to the jailer when he asked them, "Men, what must I do to be saved?" And they answered him, saying, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. The words for our meditation today is taken from the gospel lesson appointed for this Sunday, the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 10, with special attention to verse 17. As Jesus was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" This is the Word of God. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, our personal Savior and the Lord of our Christian life. Yes, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? That was a question the rich young ruler asked Jesus as he ran up to him and knelt before him. The same kind of question the jailer asked Paul and Silas. "Men, what must I do to be saved?" The same kind of question even one of Jesus' own disciples, Thomas, asked. "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Yes, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? As a matter of fact, this young man was very wealthy and a ruler of the synagogue, devout, highly respected by his peers, and very influential in the Jewish community. And yet, even though he seemed to have everything in life, there was still a big vacuum in his life. His wealth, his position in the community, and even his own religion did not give him the answer that he was looking for and searching for so desperately. So he thought that maybe, just maybe, Jesus had the answer to his question. Since Jesus was widely accepted and respected by everyone to be a great prophet and teacher and rabbi, The same kind of experience Dr. Martin Luther had during the Reformation. As Luther also struggled to free himself from the bondage of sin, from the fear of death, and from the power of the devil in order to be saved into the kingdom of heaven. Luther did not only starve himself, beat himself, but he even subjected himself to self-induced pain in order to please and appease a very jealous and angry God in his quest of being saved to the kingdom of heaven. And that's precisely what this rich young ruler was searching for. In his own quest of being saved to the kingdom of heaven. Yes, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And how does Jesus respond to him? Does Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant, for having kept all of the commandments"? No. Instead, Jesus responded to him saying, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." In other words, here Jesus was trying to help him recognize that no human being, man or woman, rich or poor, white, black, or any other color or ethnic origin is good enough to earn their salvation through their own self-righteousness and goodness. On the contrary, Jesus says that only God is good. And that certainly also included Jesus himself as the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. As a matter of fact, Jesus reminded him, saying, "You know the commandments, don't you? Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And before Jesus could say anything else, he responded immediately saying, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." Yes, down deep in his heart and in his mind, he really believed that he was able to keep all of the Ten Commandments perfectly. Maybe he never killed anyone. Maybe he never committed adultery. And he certainly did not steal because he was very wealthy. And he probably did not bear false witness against anyone, especially in the synagogue, because of his good name and reputation as a ruler of the synagogue. It is even possible that he actually loved, obeyed, honored, and respected his parents very much. And yet, in spite of keeping all of the commandments, just like Dr. Martin Luther, he just didn't feel that he had done enough to be saved to the kingdom of heaven. He felt that he still needed to do something else, that something was missing in order to be saved. As a matter of fact, it's interesting to note that Jesus responded to him saying, after he told him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth," Jesus looked at him and loved him. Yes, at first Jesus doesn't say anything, but loved him. And then, yes, he went on to say, "You lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come and follow me." Yes, Jesus' heart went out to him with love and mercy, kindness and compassion. Yes, Jesus says that there was one thing missing in his life, even though he claimed to have kept all of the commandments. Jesus told them to go, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and then come and follow me. And how did he respond to Jesus' challenge? We're told, disheartened by Jesus saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. As a matter of fact, in the New International Version of the Bible, it reads, at this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Unfortunately, he wasn't ready to give up his wealth, give it to the poor, and then make a commitment to follow Jesus. He failed the test, not because he was wealthy, but because his wealth was more important to him. His wealth was in the way in order to be saved. As he forgot to look at the prize, the reward Jesus was offering him so that he could be saved and have treasure in heaven. And unfortunately, that still continues to be true today. There are many people, not only the rich, but also the poor, who still believe that they must be good, that they must obey all of the commandments perfectly in order to receive God's unconditional love and forgiveness and mercy through Jesus Christ as Savior. And yet God just doesn't operate that way. God doesn't love us or accept us because we are good or because we have obeyed all of the commandments. And God certainly doesn't love us or accept us because we are a member of Shepherd in the Pines Lutheran Church in Big Bear, California. Devout, highly respected by our own family and friends and neighbors, and very influential in our community here in the Big Bear Valley. Or even for that matter, because we come to church on Sundays or anything else, including how much we give to the church through our tithes and offerings to the Lord. On the contrary, this is what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace you have been saved. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast. Yes, at the end of the day, his wealth, obeying the commandments, or even for that matter, his service as a ruler in the synagogue, or his position in the Jewish community, really didn't matter. His impeccable resume and all of his credentials just could not save him. The only one who could save him was right there in front of him, saying, come, follow me. And yet he just couldn't bring himself to do it. As he went disheartened, sorrowful, and sad, because of his great love for his wealth and possessions. Now what about us? What about you and me again? What must we do to inherit eternal life? Do we know the way? Do we know where we are going at the end of the day? Or do we sometimes act just like this rich young ruler did and get the feeling that maybe, just maybe, we also must be good and obey all of the commandments of the Lord in order to be saved into the kingdom of heaven? And the answer is no. No one is good enough to be saved into the kingdom of heaven. We cannot save ourselves by our own goodness or our own self-righteousness. And we certainly cannot earn it or pay for it either. Only Jesus is good, as He earned it and He paid for it through His suffering and death on the cross on Mount Calvary in order to save us from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. The words of Jesus Himself, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." The words of Jesus Himself, Jesus humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Yes, may God the Father bless us and preserve us today through His Holy Spirit, never to rely on our own goodness, our self-righteousness, but in the goodness and righteousness of Jesus Christ, who paid the ultimate price for us on the cross. The words we sang today in the old rugged cross, in the old rugged cross stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For it was on that cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. Yes, the words of Dr. Martin Luther in his small catechism, not with gold or silver, but with His holy, precious blood and with His innocent suffering and death, so that you and I may receive indeed the gift of eternal life, that reward awaiting us one day in the kingdom of heaven through our faith and trust in Jesus as our Savior. The answer St. Paul and Silas gave to the jailer, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." May our prayer today be the words we sang in the hymn of the day. "Lord, I believe Thy precious blood, which at the mercy seat of God pleads for the captives' liberty, was also shed in love for me." As we stand up right now and sing again the second verse, "Lord, I believe Thy precious blood," in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake, amen.